welcome everybody to the special edition show. This is your host, Tracy Mahan, and I am here with a very, very special guest tonight. I say that every time, but I'm always so excited when these people say yes. So I want to bring on Jordan Sather, and he is a 26-year-old speaker, entrepreneur, and truth seeker, sharer, who runs his own station on YouTube called Destroying the Illusion. And I will be posting that link for his YouTube station as well, so that you guys can start following this guy. He is amazing. Before he started his YouTube and building that brand, he worked for himself as a health food, or he worked for himself as a health coach and also managed a health food store. So all about staying healthy and being aware. So let's bring Jordan on. Yay! Okay, I'm the only one clapping, so that's awkward. Come on in, Jordan.
How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Before we get started too far into this, I'd like to invite people to come over to the chat room, because I'm not – we do have the chat room from Blog Talk Radio. That one's a little harder for me to follow because I have to bounce back and forth on pages. But I also have a chat page on Facebook, and it's called Heart and Soul Chat, or Radio Chat. And so Heart and Soul Radio Chat, it is a private group, and that's so that we can just chat in there freely without worrying about everybody else and their dogs seeing our chats. And what I want to do is, I know that we had a few people come in that that a friend requested from that are mutual acquaintances. So I just want to make sure that they can find us in the chat, because I would love for them to join us there and get in that chat room and chat it up with us. One of the things I love to do is say hello to everybody that is in there. So let me start off with saying hello to Debbie and Elizabeth and Susie and Chris and Charity and Kathy and Lisa and Beth and Linda, Marie, Mindy, Brenda, another Marie, Lori, Nicole, Janet, Helen, Shauna, Casey, Karen, Tiffany, Doreen, another Casey, Maureen, and Linda. And I think there's more of you in there, but not seeing all of your names just yet. So welcome in there. And those of you who are in the Blog Talk chat, if you can't join us over on Facebook, I will do my best to check both chat rooms. And welcome to all of you. You guys come in as numbers for me. So I'm just welcoming you and your numbers. So, okay. Now, as we get this show rolling. Oh, it's been a fun week of just kind of touching base with you to have you do the show, Jordan. And very excited to bring you in. I know that we had a couple different subject lines. Oh, you're welcome. We've had some different subject lines that we were talking about. And I'm just curious, where would you like to start?
Man, I guess the biggest news recently is the passing of William Tompkins. That was a big kind of shock, you know, in the secret space program community, you could say, but just in the disclosure community in general. He was, coming on the scene just in the past couple of years and sharing huge truths in his own direct experiences with what he experienced during World War II, you know, his time within Black Projects and actually designing literal spacecraft. So he passed on the day of the eclipse, and what, you know, what more of a symbolic day could he have passed on than
and he was,
than that day, right?
Was he 94? Did I remember that right?
He was 94.
You know, what an amazing man, because I was watching him being interviewed. Was it the MUFON? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the MUFON symposium.
Yeah, and was that the one that I was seeing him interviewed? And I was impressed at how sharp that man, being as old as he was very clear in the mind. He had a memory like no other. We could all aspire to be like that, because He really had his stuff together. So, yeah, when I heard of his passing, that kind of surprised me, because he looked so, what's the word? He was so put together for that interview.
Yeah, he had such a youthful energy. I mean, every time you talk to him, he was cracking jokes, and him and his wife had a great relationship, so it was such a shock.
Yeah, I believe one of the questions that came from one of the audience members was, did he touch his secretary, which she was supposed to be someone that wasn't of this world, and she just meant, did she have a weird energy? But, oh my gosh, that was the funniest question. Were you there for
were
that?
Were you there at the MUFON?
No, I just watched the video. I was laughing so hard.
I know.
He handled it so well.
He did, and I think she didn't realize, you know, what it sounded like, and did you touch her? She's like, no, you just touch her, you know, like telepathy.
Yeah, because he had stories of her, of the secretary communicating telepathically, correct?
Yeah.
If you guys are not familiar with William Tompkins, you need to go find some of his videos on YouTube or wherever you might find them. He is a very impressive man, and his stories will blow you out of the water. It's amazing. But actually,
yeah.
Jordan, if you don't mind taking a minute and just telling the audience like a little background on him, I think that would be kind of a nice introduction to what we're doing here today, because he is part of this disclosure.
Totally. Where do we start? So, yes, if anybody listening to this would like to know more about him, you can find plenty of interviews of his on YouTube, fantastic interviews. I think he was on the Gaia Network a couple times. And he's got a book. His first book was called Selected by Extraterrestrials. And we actually have enough content of his for a second book. So Dr. Robert Wood, who worked closely with William Tompkins, does have enough material for a second book. So that'll be coming out soon. But William Tompkins' story is very interesting in that he was actually, when he was very young, you know, around the age of 8 or 9, he was very interested in model building, and he had this extremely apt talent for model building. And when he was living in Long Beach Harbor at the time, and he would tour all the ships. And, of course, on these ships, they wouldn't allow any cameras. But he was, you know, obsessed with building models to replicate these ships that he would scratch down on a pen and paper, you know, the distance that he would think it was whenever he would tour the ships. And he would create such intricate designs that his designs, when they were featured on a storefront in Malibu, I believe there, a couple of naval officers were walking by. They saw his model designs, and they thought, you know, he had classified stuff on these model designs. So they were shocked, and they actually interrogated his dad for a couple of days. And they found out it was just a 9-year-old. It wasn't a Japanese spy or anything like that. But he got so much attention for his models that he went directly into these programs upon entering the Navy. He was essentially groomed for it. And once within these programs, he somehow got himself into a position where he was actually debriefing naval spies that were embedded in Germany. So there were 29 different spies that were embedded in German aerospace programs. When they came back with designs and blueprints and schematics and things like that of the secret projects that the German companies were working on, it was William Tompkins' job to disseminate this aircraft research. So he would actually take these top secret designs and fly them to aerospace companies around the country. He called them packages. He would fly thousands of these packages across, you know, across California and across the country. And it was all extremely secret anti-gravity technology. So that's what these packages dealt with. So that's his story around World War II. And then from there, he went to work for McDonnell Douglas and DRW, Northrop, and pretty much many major aerospace companies in disseminating this research.
Yeah. You know, and I've listened to some of those stories of his deliveries and how things would play out. And it's just phenomenal to listen to it. And to hear how he was getting this telepathic communication, how you know, we probably all are actually on some level receiving these telepathic communications. And it just intrigues me because, you know, I do a lot of the readings, the mediumship and that type of thing. And so when I hear of how this works for him, you know, there's some common points to it that just kind of sucked me in. But anyway, so.
Absolutely.
So you've
and
been
he was,
inspired. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's the favorite thing about him was that every single interview and show that he did, he would make it a point to say that we are all mind controlled, essentially, and we are told lies throughout school and through education and media and whatnot. And, you know, it was, he made it a point to tell you that all this stuff is completely possible. Telepathy and dematerialization and anti-gravity and, you know, all this stuff is completely real, and it's just based on belief. If you believe it's real, then it'll come to you.
Yeah. Our belief system is such an amazing tool. And once we really start mastering how that works, life changes drastically. So, so in this time of you doing your YouTube video, you've, I don't know at what point of your career I kind of jumped in on following you, but I've been following you for a while, and I know that you kind of keep evolving this, and it's amazing to watch you just keep growing and growing. And so I'm having a lot of fun, just being a part of that, even as just a watcher, but now I get to have you on the show. So yay, I hope I can help you grow. You've been part of wanting to expose and get this disclosure out there. Your show is called Destroying the Illusion. So let's talk a little bit about what got you to decide to do this.
Basically, just the inner angst from seeing everybody lied to. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a deep-rooted need or mission within me to get people to see, just simply see and use their brains and think and connect the dots and, you know, take their own lives in their own hands through simply information. There's so much information that we are denied by the powers that be, and it disempowers people, and it makes them feel guilty, and it makes them feel like they have no power and no, you know, infinite potential. So there was a point in time where I was just like, I need to do this, right? You know, just how easy would it be to take this avenue on the internet and exploit that to not only share information but to grow a brand and support myself at the same time? And, you know, it's been amazing doing both, actually, you know, using, while we still have this fiat money system we're dealing with, but actually use that to spread information, right? use the system to take down the system. Beautiful.
Yeah. And beautiful. And James Gilliland talks about how the money thing is going to change. I'm not real clear on what's all happening there, but it does always make me feel good when he speaks about it. So
I don't think anybody knows exactly how it's going to go down, but there's no doubt trillions and trillions of dollars and tons of gold that have simply just been hidden from humanity. I mean, not on one aspect alone of it, the Pentagon has stolen, what, $11 trillion from us? If that, you know, 10, 11 trillion, whatever money's on the black market and trafficking, whatever the elites do, and then all the gold that's been kept away. But this, it's inevitable that all of this will be returned to humanity, and that includes the gold and prosperity funds and whatnot. I'm not, you know, any more expecting it to be tonight or tomorrow, or putting my life on the line expecting a big paycheck to magically
You're not
appear
running
tomorrow.
Up the credit cards?
not running up the credit card, you know. There was a point in time through my awakening process when I was like that, and I was expecting to be saved by a, you know, the savior of money. But I think we shouldn't be living like that.
Kind of pops in the whole, you know, we're a planet of non-interference, a planet of free will. I know I've watched several videos on how that works, but how how does a group come in and basically control the masses under that law of free will?
Through magic. It's the use of magic. And how that works is that our consciousness, you know, our collective consciousness is very strong. And what they had to do is basically use our own consciousness against us. So they're basically making us beat ourselves down. It's not their fault. It's our own fault. That's a huge thing that people don't like to hear. But we are, through our actions, through our own power, keeps them in power. Right. So our buying of their products, I've been to consciousness festivals or conferences this year, and I still see people using Coca-Cola and products of the elite's own companies. Like their energy is still flowing right into their hands. So through our choices, through what we buy, through how we spend our money, how we spend our time and our energy, we could simply end their power tomorrow if we so chose to at a collective level. But I kind of digress there, but at least talking in free will side of things, topic cosmic laws, if our waking up, so the fact that we are seeing the illusion or seeing the dupe and verbally and energetically disconsenting, the fact that we are disconsenting spins that wheel of karma and causes the elite's downfall, essentially. So they're not able to use that free will against us anymore.
Yeah, and that is such a key thing to say there, us disconsenting. So it's time for us to say no.
Mm-hmm.
The slogan, just say no, that should be on your t-shirt.
Just say no, and it's through acting. It's acting is what really spins that wheel of karma. So you can, a lot of people say knowledge is power, but I don't necessarily agree. I think knowledge is only potential. You have to put that knowledge into action. You actually have to utilize that knowledge and make the effort, and that's what spins the wheel of karma. That's what disconsenting is. So I went to my first tangent first in that actually voting with your choices and your dollars and your energy is what spins that wheel of karma.
Yeah.
I know. So that's why I'm so big on health. You know, we got to stop buying their products, on getting rid of your TV, getting rid of the media, and at least not getting rid of the media. It's always good to see what the other side is saying, but you have to hone the skill of detachment when you do so.
Yeah.
You have to really understand that it's not black and white. You see, you gotta hone your discernment skills, and that you can read mainstream media. You can see what the truth is, but you can also see where their narrative is and where they're lying to you. So.
Yeah. Asking
crucial
questions.
Skill.
Asking
questions. So.
Lots of questions.
Get your body healthy, get your mind healthy, and then start trying to wake your friends and family up to do the same. So.
Yeah. So many angles to go with that. You said friends and family. It made me think of the chemtrails and a conversation I had with my dad. So,
oh man. Was he rejecting the notion?
He pointed out, you mean the contrails? I said, yep. And walked away.
Yep. Oh man.
Yep. Those are the ones. Those are the ones, if that's what you want to call them. But, you know, there's some people that we just won't change their mind, and we have to be okay with that. Is, you know, I had to come to that place for myself, is I have to be okay with that. That's where they're at. That's, you know, this is my truth. I don't need to throw it at them. And so, yeah.
Precisely. Everybody's on their own path, you know. A lot of people say you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it.
Yeah.
I always say you can make the horse at least realize it's real thirsty, you know, sell your ideas as much as you can, but you cannot force them. You can't force their head in it. And I think in time, I never say never, you know, paradoxically. I think in time, everybody can and will come around. I've had people who, it's funny you say chemtrails. I had a friend who 4 years ago called me crazy for believing in chemtrails. But then in the last few months, you know, she's kind of seeing what I do and agreeing with a lot more of it. So I was actually talking about this issue, topic with one of my clients the other day, in that he was worried about people thinking he's crazy. And I'm like, fantastic. If these people think you're nuts now, when the shit really hits the fan, they're going to be the ones that are extremely lost, and then you're going to provide that avenue of understanding. You're going to be their savior, essentially.
You will
you're going
stand
to help them.
Out
That's
in
such...
your mind.
Yes. Go to your nearest conspiracy theorist when shit hits the fan, right? So you're such an opportunity. That's why
exactly.
I'm, you know, I've about 6 to 9 months ago, that's why I started not really, I started giving no Fs, no care online about what people thought of me, and I just started saying all the crazy stuff in the world, because I'm like, when stuff goes down, you know, I'll
you're going to be the go-to guy.
Here.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to have a thick skin when you do YouTube, because every person on the planet thinks that they need to project their stuff on your posts, so it does make me look at that and go, if people knew what mirroring was, they wouldn't write that stuff.
Right. And that's
just
that's the biggest
window
test.
Into
like,
them. Yeah.
It's been such an intense soul growth journey the past 6 months since I started my YouTube channel. It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason I did it as well. I'm like, I was always pretty introverted and inward, you know, a few years ago. And that's, I think, one reason why. So maybe I was pushed to do this YouTube channel. Like, here's an opportunity that I have, but here's also a way I have to grow.
Not just pushed,
so.
but maybe even born for it. That's how I see
Possibly.
It.
Possibly.
You know.
Chose it.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Dolores Cannon's work, but a volunteer. You volunteered. You raised your hand and said, send me into that crazy place and let me see what I can do. So here
kind
you are.
Of, I've heard the name and seen a few articles on it, but I've never read her books or anything like that. But yeah, totally volunteered. And then the way life has gone, it's like I used to manage a health food store, and there what I was doing was breaking down very complicated health ideas and trying to get people to unlearn stuff. And I would be talking to 50, 60 people a day, breaking down complex topics for them to understand. So then, you know, that's where a big awakening of mine occurred. Another huge awakening of mine occurred was through watching people on YouTube. I had, during my awakening process, I went into a pretty depressive fit, as many do, you know, when they wake up to the reality of the world. Especially with the way my awakening process occurred, it was so deep at once that I just went off a cliff with it, you know, and I did go pretty deep. And I would watch people on YouTube to help me out, right, for my own cathartic or therapeuticness. But so not only did I have I was watching YouTube, I was able to simplify concepts, but then eventually, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I could just take this YouTube avenue and bring it to the conscious community and talk to people every day. And wow, you know, how perfect of a niche was it right there to take YouTube in the whole disclosure realm.
Yeah.
At least in the way that I was, I was familiar with it, with people posting videos every day and everything like that.
Right. And I think that your following is a good demonstration of how much this is needed. It's, and like I said, hopefully it just keeps growing. I have somebody that is messaging me that they have called in, and I believe they have a question for you. Is that okay to bring that in?
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions?
Okay. Okay. All right. Valene, we have you live on the air with us. How are you?
Hi, Tracy. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. Yep. Can hear you great.
Oh, perfect. Hi, Jordan. I actually just seeing on your Facebook feed today, Tracy, I saw that you had Jordan on, and I actually haven't heard of him, but his stuff parallels so much of what's going on in my life. And I kind of turned it over to Spirit and I said, I am feeling so alone and isolated with all this. Can you please, like, throw me a bone here, give me a sign that I'm not going crazy. And then when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, because I totally
There's
love
your bone.
Trust Tracy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm confident. I just want to say thank you, Tracy, for having this topic today. And kind of some background about me is I've been doing angel like reading, healing stuff, and then mediumship, and it's all kind of been just getting funneled down, and I was very Pollyanna about all this stuff. And then I would literally say probably the last 2 months, it, like they always say when it comes to this type of disclosure stuff, it's like a rabbit hole, and I just got thrusted down it, and it's so intense. And I'm talking like not stuff that I'm reading or consuming, it's stuff that's happening to me. Because when the stuff, I don't know if you guys are familiar, like with what happened, what you were talking about the gentleman before, I think William. So before David Wilcock and Corey Good, they were talking about what was happening and going on with them. Too, and because I know that they worked with that same gentleman on their cosmic disclosure and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and it just seems like kind of like, I think maybe Jordan said this, like the shit's just hitting the fan and it's intense. And I was reading their blog that they released about everything that was happening. So I go to sleep and I hope I don't sound crazy, but I'm reading it and, you know, my family's sleeping. It's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I see this like etheric grid extend all the way on my hand, and there's like luminous blue grid points, and I'm like, weird, whatever, don't think anything of it, because I just see that kind of stuff all the time in the middle of the night. That's why I'm up like in the middle of the night Facebooking, because I can't sleep because spirit, and I just see crazy stuff all the time. But this time I fall asleep and I doze off, and then there is, sorry, I'm a mom too, that's my 1-year-old. So I go to sleep and I have this really vivid dream. And I know usually when they're vivid like that, like lucid dreams, that it's spirit. And it's me with girlfriends. We're out. And then we leave this party and something tries to isolate us, and it does. And then darkness, my dream just went dark. Like, and I feel spirit coming in as I say this, like I'm getting goosebumps. I just, darkness enveloped me. And I couldn't see in my dream anymore. And then I wake up and my head is humming and vibrating. And I look up and there's this thing floating about 6 feet in the air, broadcasting or shooting a beam at my head. And I instantly called and I said, Archangel Michael, help me. But it wasn't what Archangel Michael usually does. Usually I could see his orb and he clears the energy that I see. It was like this thing was up 3D and he couldn't sweep it away like he would something that was like etheric, if that makes sense. Anyways, so this thing, it sees that I see it, I call it in, it stops, goes out of my room, goes into the hallway, and goes towards my little boy's room. I jump up, and it's gone. And it was so intense and real, and it kind of goes along with other dreams I've been having, where I wake up, and I don't have anybody to talk to, because everybody thinks, like, if I tell them this, they're going to think I'm crazy. And I had a really vivid dream about Google. And I know that, and I've never been a conspiracy theorist, never thought anything about AI stuff, artificial intelligence, anything like that. And in this dream, Google is actually a government cover-up. And I didn't know anything about this prior to having this dream. So this is what really shook me. Anyways, it was a government cover-up. It's really Google is the government, and they – or something, and they used all of the information that we had to come into our house, use it against us. They turned us into like a Stepford family, and whoever recognized that we were different, that's how they knew who to go after next. And they injected us with something. And I know this sounds crazy, but this is like the only place I thought maybe I could share this and have somebody hear me or just receive me, or somebody else who might be going through it. I don't know.
This is where I point out that they put this information in plain sight for us in movie forms and all kinds of stuff. But I want Jordan to touch on Google, because haven't they been finding things with Google? Been banning and doing some things to people that are doing disclosure stuff?
Yeah, Google owns YouTube, and Google completely, you could say, specifies their analytics. And especially on YouTube, if the analytics catches people's keywords or tags in videos, it'll demonetize them and sometimes even swipe or remove them off the internet. So Google is a huge, you know, globalist deep state company, and they do things. They do a lot of things.
Yeah.
That dream is scary, you know, like straight up.
And what's amazing about your contact experience is that a lot of people, more and more people, are having contact experiences, and usually they start either in the dream state or telepathically. Mm-hmm. I've had some very interesting contact in my dreams, and then it moves into the physical form. So yours is moving along fast, it sounds like, and you're not crazy, definitely not crazy. So. It's really good that you're reaching out and, you know, using the magic of the internet to actually connect with people who are going through the same thing. So,
hey, Valene, have you ever seen the Divergent movies? Divergent and Divergent?
Oh, okay. That's so weird to say that because
go watch them again.
Well, no, in my dream, it's funny you say that. I forgot to mention that part. They injected me with whatever. And it didn't work on me, but I knew if I didn't pretend that they were going to kill me. So I pretended to be the Stepford, whatever they wanted me to be, in order to survive, to figure out how to get out of there. And then my dream ended. But I've seen the movie Divergent, and that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you seen that series, Jordan?
No, I've never seen Divergent.
Oh, you should watch it. It's Insurgent and Divergent. Is there just the two? I think there's just two. But
it's going to be two.
Yes. If you haven't seen them, that could be a good movie night for you and the lady friend. Just sit down and watch just mass watch them because you're going to be addicted to it. And so, anyways. I do want to ask you, Valene, that it was like an orb that was floating above you?
No, it looked straight up like a droid. And I'm not even into any of that.
Okay.
Or pay attention. Because it moved like it was of like the three-dimensional physics applied to it. That's how it moved. Like it went in my hallway and it had momentum going one direction, so it had to stop and propel itself to go the other way to go down to my son's room. It was really alarming. It was like traumatizing. I felt very violated, and I'm very sensitive to energy. So when that happened, like I called my mom, and I was so upset, and I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't because I just felt so violated because it was like that thing wanted to scare me from whatever I was reading, but it did the opposite. Like, I'm like, no, I'm going to read even more. I didn't come here to give in to whatever you are. Like, no, I'm going to continue reading more. And I have.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It kind of makes me want to know more about who you are and why you came here. So let's connect later. And
I just want to say thank you too, because I was reading Jordan's website, and something I feel like that's not talked about enough in the spiritual community is that if you are going to do this work, how important it is to honor and follow what spirit tells you. And that is eating clean, eating non-GMO food, paying attention to how it makes you feel, because it was very clear to me that you cannot consume these chemicals, processed foods, and it's changed my life and my family's life since we've done that. And I saw that on your website, and I just thought that was cool that somebody's sharing that message.
Awesome. Good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Valene.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sure your share has helped a lot of people. And if you have time, jump in our chat room. And I think there might even be some comments in there about what you were sharing. So it'd be nice if you could see those. So, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, whoever them is, putting information right in plain sight, you know, like movies, sitcoms, different things like that, as a uh-huh. way to kind of discredit people, or, you know, because somebody could have taken what Valene had said there and then compared it to two or three different movies and just said, oh, she was just triggered by the movies, right?
Totally.
So it makes it easy for them to do that.
Yep. Everything the Elite does is a multifold operation. So there could be many different reasons why they pull a false flag or put the truth in plain sight or do whatever it is that they do. And when it comes to putting the truth in plain sight, one of them is exactly that. It is being able to discredit people's ideas. So say, oh, you know, the idea of a secret space program, you got that from the new Independence Day movie where all the people in that movie reverse engineer alien craft and build a secret space program or whatever. Anything like that. Or the idea of time travel, you got that from Interstellar, right? So there's a very, very easy way to discredit truth, discredit, quote, conspiracy, but also back to that idea of free will, if the elite put the truth in plain sight and we don't see it, we don't connect the dots and disconsent from it, that is their way of using their dark arts, using their black magic and saying, ha ha ha, we put the truth in plain sight for you guys and you didn't do anything. Thus, it gives us rights to rule over you or do whatever it is that we do to you. So that's their efforts to keep that wheel of karma from spinning, from turning, is by putting the truth in plain sight. And by us recognizing the truth in plain sight and, you know, like we just talked about, disconsecting, that's what spins that wheel of karma. So there's a few reasons they do the truth in plain sight there. There's just a couple of them. Another one is to desensitize us. Like when we see movies where the hero is winning and the hero defeats the enemy and defeats the darkness on this planet, we sympathize with that and we subconsciously want ourselves to defeat the darkness on the planet. But then when we leave the movie theater or when we turn the TV off, we disengage and it kind of takes our will away, takes our drive away. So.
Yeah, it does. It's, I'm sitting here thinking about the things that you're saying, going, yeah.
It does all make sense. It's like, man, once you begin to connect these dots and see the game, it's just seeing the game. It's very easy to just say, I don't want to play that game. I'm gonna turn the TV off and, you know, I'm gonna find my own truth and not even look at the ones in plain sight.
And so I'm going to bring up a show that I just watched. I have Netflix because I don't have cable anymore. And so I was watching The Defenders, which is a Marvel series. And, you know, I have three boys, so I tend to be all about the superhero shows that you were just bringing up.
Nice.
And I couldn't help myself watching that whole thing thinking they're totally showing us what's happening. And in one of the scenes, so there's these ancient, it's called The Hand. If anybody's been watching that, they know what I mean. The bad guys are called The Hand. And there are five of them. They're the five fingers of the hand. And they can live forever. And they've found the secret to living forever. So they have manipulated and monopolized and did all this stuff to do exactly what, you know, people are saying the cabal and all of that has been doing. And now I forgot the question I was leading up to. See, my storytelling gets in my way. So anyway, at the end of this series, you know, they were fighting them. And the only way to get rid of them was, you know, through a certain kind of death. And so otherwise they could regenerate and heal themselves from all kinds of things. But at the same time, the only ones that could defeat them were also people with superpowers. So I found that interesting as well because, you know, we're all, as we follow this along, we're looking at, you know, I hear stories of the Blue Avians helping and the Palladians are here to help. And, you know, we've got all of these wonderful, benevolent beings that are surrounding us and doing their best to help. But one of the things that I've heard, though, is that some of these Dracos or reptilian type beings that are not being nice are so accustomed to this atmosphere now they can't leave. And so I'm just wondering, what do you know, or what have you put together with what you've heard about all of the ET interaction that goes with what we're talking about today?
Well, with this question, I can just go based upon how I feel, right, and piece together from the information I've heard. I don't have any direct contact experiences of my own in the physical form quite yet, but with the increase in consciousness occurring so exponentially, you know, we are just making this planet's vibration higher and higher and higher all collectively. So with these Draco and Archon groups, they reside and they feed off of fear. They feed off of negative vibrations. And the fact is that their mainstream media fear porn is failing. Their games are failing. That's why they're so desperate with their false flags. They have to resort to, like, cars and knife attacks and stuff these days. They can't pull the giant ones anymore. Their plans are failing. People are waking up. So we're essentially getting rid that the more we make ourselves conscious, make ourselves happier, follow our bliss, the more we basically just fry the reptilians and fry these Archon groups out of here. So it's, you know, I am a very positive person. That's why a lot of people gravitate towards my YouTube channel. I don't see things in this complete, perpetually negative light. And that's because I understand this is how we're going to win the war, is through positivity and light and increasing in awareness and basically bliss and happiness. So I see it. I understand that there's very nasty things that these reptilian groups do through their human subjugates, but I don't, it is of my belief that the only way to get over that is by shining a light on it and reveal and forgiving.
How did you say that? Reveal and then?
Reveal and forgive.
Oh, forgive.
By revealing and forgiving.
I thought you said forgetting, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing to do. Just reveal it and forget about it.
Forget. Goodbye.
Forget
not my monkey,
it.
Not my circus.
Sometimes I got to enjoy my hearing. It can get me in trouble when I hear people wrong, and I'm bouncing.
What did
up.
You say? Clarify
yeah.
that, please.
What?
Let me make sure.
That's too funny. So, you recently went to Mount Shasta, and you had a what was the conference that was being held up there?
The Eclipse of Disclosure. It was basically Corey Good's conference that he held down there, and he had a bunch of awesome people. Shoo, I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Bless you.
Shoo, another one. Two, just two.
Do you do it in threes?
Okay. Usually it's fours, actually.
Oh, here's the four. Okay. We're waiting.
But so Corey Good was there. We had Jay Widener there. Laura Eisenhower was there. Bentinho Mazzaro was there. Jimmy Church. Who else? Myself. Teresa, Justin Deschamps of Stillness in the Storm. There was a lot of people down there. It was an awesome, amazing time. Shasta is a beautiful place. It's unfortunately, it was a little smoky because of some nearby wildfires, but by the day of the eclipse, it cleared, and it was a beautiful blue day on the day of the eclipse. So there was a lot of people that came down there for it. There was about 300 to 400,
I
believe. That
I didn't get to see the eclipse because I was so generously offered a trip to Hawaii.
So I
was in Hawaii, or, you know, I had that scheduled, and then everybody started talking about the eclipse, and I'm like, when's that fall? And I'm like, oh, of course. Why, I'm in Hawaii. So.
And you were probably like 60 or 70% range down there, like way out of it.
We were way out of it. I guess if you were in Honolulu in that area, then you could see it. But I was on the Big Island in Hemu, and so we had no visual whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, it rained for 2 days, and then I came home. So it felt like Oregon.
Oh, oh man.
Anyway,
right, and here in Oregon, it's been like 80 degrees the whole, for weeks.
Yeah.
Or at least in the, in the northwest here.
Yeah, I had to go to Hawaii to get the rain back. So.
Right.
But anyway. Okay, so let's get back to Mount Shasta. Otherwise, I'll start telling stories of turtles and dolphins, and then it just gets wild after that. So we'll go back to Mount Shasta. Now, I have a friend that does workshops there, and she always tells me about the amazing energy, and I've yet to get there, but I know I'm destined to get there eventually. But did you notice anything about the energy around Mount Shasta?
Yeah, it's a very, very intense place. I mean, it's unfortunate that I didn't really get to spend any days there, like, alone out in the wilderness. It was kind of a pretty pretty hectic schedule of mine once I got down there, so I didn't really get to revel in those energies quite a bit. And I had to, it was pretty intense because I had to speak every day. I spoke for about 30 minutes every single day there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so... You know, I didn't have a day where I didn't speak to go out and adventure. So I plan on going back one of these months, one of these years, definitely get back to Shasta as a more of a tourist and check out the area. But, man, that mountain is huge, and it's right there. I was able to check out Shasta City for a little bit one of the days, and it's such a neat little town.
Oh, yeah?
So
that needs to go on the... on the trip agenda to go through the town?
Through the town. I was able to get there a little bit, but I'll definitely get back there again. Although I do say that I do prefer my forest to be a little more wet and humid, so I definitely like Oregon and Washington a bit more.
Yeah, a little dry there.
So
Corey Good was at this conference. This was when he puts on? And I know that you have talked about working with him a little bit. Are you still planning on doing some work with Corey? Or?
Yep, still. I know Corey, Dr. Michael Sala, and Dr. Robert Wood are all working together. William Tompkins is also a part of the project, but, of course, since his passing, it's mainly them three now, but they're all collaborating on a new book called The Case for a Secret Space Program. And I'm assisting with that project. So I do, you know, and I was just at his conference and met with him down there. So I still work with him, you know, on some things independently. And it's very interesting, you know, once you get to meet him and get to know him, you just realize that he's another human. And he has all, you know, his strengths and his faults just like everybody else does. And
get him off the soapbox. Yeah.
Yep, that's a huge thing about, you know, what I'm learning as I meet a lot of these people in, you know, in this community that are doing work and some of the bigger names is that they're all just humans. And that's the thing. I'm just a human as well. And that's the cool thing about YouTube is I get to show a lot of authenticity through that. And that's why I think a lot of people connect with it so well. Is that I can, you know, it's an avenue to do that with. And with all these other people out there, my biggest word of advice is sometimes they have life to live as well. Sometimes it's difficult for them to work through all their stuff. And, you know, get people off their soapboxes.
Yeah. You were talking, I kept getting a little bug in my ear. I don't know who's doing it, but they're saying, tell people who Corey is because not everybody knows. So we're chatting it up because we both know who he is. But I know Valene brought him up, and then we both brought him up, and I have a feeling some of the audience may not know who Corey Good is. So if you don't mind giving us a little short version of that, that would be wonderful.
Yep. So we just went earlier. We went over William Tompkins and kind of his experiences and with the secret space program and whatnot. Corey Good is another experiencer with the secret space program. So he was actually drafted early in his life in what's called a MILAB program or a military induction program. Basically, when he was young, he scored high on aptitude tests, and his family lineage was already, you know, his grandfather was a part of secret government projects, so he was already noted. He was already on the list from a young age, and he was brought into some programs, some government programs, and then from there, he went into the secret space program, and that's where he served on various vessels of the Black Projects. He was, the name of the project he was allegedly working on was called Solar Warden, and it's a very interesting connection that Corey Goode was working on Navy programs, and these might have been the very same vessels that William Tompkins originally designed in the 1950s. So, you know, it's very possible. It's an interesting synchronicity there. But so that's basically Corey Goode's story. He served on Secret Space Program vessels. He was then memory swiped and age regressed. I know it sounds crazy, but these are very possible technologies.
You just got everybody's attention. Age regressed?
Yep,
what?
He was memory swiped and age regressed, very possible technologies. But he basically served in what's called a 20 and back program. So he went out, served 20 years in the solar system, was age regressed and literally mind swiped to back to his early years, and then he lived a normal life. And the normal life he lived, you know, he had a lot of PTSD. He had a lot of temper issues because of his subconscious was literally messed with so bad. But just recently, probably within the last 5 to 10 years, he started getting a lot of his memories back, which can happen. Corey Goode is not the only one. There's others who served 20 and backs as well, and I can name a few names like Tony Rodriguez and Randy Kramer, I believe, served 20 and back. I think Laura Eisenhower did too. But anyway, so there's other people out there. Corey Goode's story exploded the past couple of years, so he's getting a lot of recognition for it.
Yeah, and it part of that probably was his connecting with David Wilcock and getting
definitely
those interviews in. So if you guys want to know more about him, those are some names to go look up. I believe they still have stuff on YouTube, but if you want to see their Cosmic Disclosure program, that's on the Gaia TV. So yeah, go look him up. He's
yep.
got an interesting story.
There's a few of his conferences are online, and they're really good to research for free on YouTube. I mean,
yeah,
so I think he has a joint one with David.
Perfect.
But
yeah, that would be great.
Gaia, Cosmic Disclosure on Gaia.
Yeah, we'll be seeing you on Gaia one of these days, and then we'll promote it some more. We'll get you out there. So wonderful. I do want to say to the audience, if you have questions for Jordan, we can take some calls. The number is 323-642-1397. I did kind of space saying that earlier, so at the point, we have no more callers. But I do want to give that option out there right now real quick. If somebody wants to ask questions, we have a little time for that if you want to call in, and that's 323-642-1397. So I also put your website, jordansather.com, the YouTube link. What else did we put on there? Oh, I didn't get your Facebook. You have a Facebook group as well?
I don't have a Facebook group. My best way to get a hold of me is through my website. You can just add me as a friend on Facebook as well, if anybody wants to there. I don't have a group or anything. I try to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
You have a
Destroying the Illusion page, though, correct?
Oh, yeah. I do have a Destroying the Illusion Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to see if I can get that up for you really quick here. And
cool.
As we look at the at the current events that are going on right now, what would you like people to kind of pay attention to? What are some of the things that they might see on the news that would be good to have a little more awareness about?
I, you know, it's interesting. I've been probably out of the stuff is happening so fast these days. It's amazing how one day you hear all this stuff, next day you hear all this next stuff. I haven't looked at the news in about a week now, which is an extremely long time for what I was doing on YouTube. You know, I've been, that's the new, I would do a lot of news reports, and that's what people really enjoyed. So I would definitely be doing that again. But I would say be not only one piece of advice, you know, there's many I could give. One piece would be beware of actual fake news, because many people understand that the mainstream media is basically fake news, CNN, NBC, Washington Post. But there's a lot of actual fake news stories being specifically planted as mis- and disinformation out there. And it might say, oh, you know, John Podesta and Hillary Clinton indicted, or, you know, U.S. Representative Trey Gowdy's reporter is missing, or something like that. There's a lot of actual fake news websites and fake news stories that are put out there just to confuse. So whenever you're rolling around on the internet and trying to research and going through Facebook groups and whatnot, don't take anything as being the absolute truth. Put it in your, yeah. You know, put it in your box and discern through everything as you come across the information.
So that kind of brings me to another question, and that's riots and Soros and stuff like that. What would you say to people when they see the news throwing out riots? And because I know I listened to other day where a gentleman was talking about how he was at this peaceful protest and there was like 10 people dressed in black with masks on breaking windows and setting fire to everything, and that's what you see on the news, but you don't see the thousands of people peacefully protesting. I kind of want to touch on that so people are aware.
Extremely good point that I just totally glossed over right there, but great you bring that up, because that the media is definitely trying to cause racial division. They're trying to cause any division they can in this country. Right now, it's race, and you mentioned the people dressed in black, often associated with the Antifa groups or the, you know, Black Lives Matter groups. I'm not, and those groups are often associated with the globalist campaigns like George Soros, you mentioned, and whenever there's a protest and you find those counter-protesters in the mix, the ones that are causing violence, you'll often see Craigslist ads in the area around that same time of the protest for, you know, get paid $25 an hour to protest and all that jazz. And there's just a lot of shady stuff that goes on. And this is a COINTELPRO, counterintelligence program classic move, is that there's an honest protest, people, it's no violence, very peaceful. Then you'll have the counter-protesters who are paid provocateurs, paid agitators to come in, cause the violence so the media can then blame it on the original group that was protesting. And it's just very easy to mind control and manipulate that way. So that's why you have to, you know, look at all the information on all sides of the story then before you decide on what you're going to believe. And what's very interesting to note about those Virginia protests that happened is that that whole thing was a setup. Not just the people dressed in black, the Antifa people that came in. They were specifically sent there to cause a ruckus. You know, and that car, my guess, was a paid contractor that was specifically sent to go do that. But the organizer of the quote alt-right group or the free speech group that was in there, his name was I forget his name, but he was actually a Obama supporter and working for Occupy Wall Street before he turned into a Trump supporter working with whatever alt-right groups. So this guy was a paid agitator. He's a paid provocateur as well. So both sides that went in there were paid provocateurs, paid to do this, essentially set up. And, yeah, so the whole thing, it's more staged than people want to believe or even realize most of the time.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and when I think of of you talking about the mind control and manipulation that's going on. I do hypnosis as my thing, and it is so easily. I was actually sitting in my office today working, and my son had a song playing in the other room, and in that song, it kept repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again. I thought, oh my gosh, I need to go shut that off, because he's listening to the, or he had fallen asleep, but it was sitting there pounding this, and I can't remember what it was. It was a rap song, so it was kind of a violent thing. So it was just kind of going over and over and over. And I was like, it is all around us. You know, we can constantly be hypnotized. And it's in our advertisements, it's in our television, it's in the banners that we read on the streets. I watched somebody on, it might have been an Ellen show or something like that. It was a clip that came by, and it was this guy that, I don't know if he called himself the mind manipulator, it was supposed to be like magic, and he had written some things on cards and showed it to the audience and then went about doing his thing. And then later on, he had the audience all write down something, and every member of the audience wrote down the same thing. And it was because of what he wrote down. It was because of what he wrote down in the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The star. Exactly. And it shows you how easily our minds, we can think, no one's going to be able to do that to me. Well, it's happening all day long. So, you know, we are only in our conscious state on average about 10% of the day. The rest of the day, we're floating around that subconscious mind, and that's where they're getting us. And so this is why it's important to be careful. What media are you watching? What shows are you watching? What commercials are you watching? What music are you listening to? Because it is all playing a part in, you know, making us compliant and, you know, behaved and whatever, eat burgers, whatever they want you to do. So I just wanted to bring that up because we were talking about the mind control, and it's way easier than people think it is.
Exactly. So. It goes so deep, and since it's all started from birth, it's so ingrained in us that people don't even realize how deeply their subconscious has been programmed. You know, so I'm trying, you know, I have a 4-year-old. I'm trying as hard as I can to keep his mind pure.
Good luck. No.
Good luck. No.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking I've got 12 and 15 and 19 over here, and, you know, they start running off and playing games and doing all this stuff that I'm not sure what they're hearing and listening to all day. And so that brings me to the next thing. The solar eclipse. It's my understanding that the solar eclipse was putting off an energy. Now, this I got in my own meditation. So this isn't something I heard. This isn't something I researched. What I got in my meditation was that it was putting out an energy that was going to lift the fog for a little bit. And then I also heard that it is a reset, like a reset energy, which kind of go together. So what have you heard about the eclipse? What is the potential of the eclipse energy? Because, I mean, we had a full moon, new moon, the eclipse and Mercury retrograde all playing parties in our heads on the 21st. So what was that?
I think the energies of the eclipse are whatever we make them, you know, being how our collective consciousness is what influences our reality. A lot of people are coming together. They're coming together for a celestial event, and that's millions of people, if not billions, you know, all looking up at the sky or looking at their television set at one point in the one point occurring at one specific time. So, you know, everybody's collective consciousness coming together. If they were to put forth that intent for the most optimal timeline or the best reality to occur, then it's going to occur. So you could say that, it is the beginning of another wave or another point in the cycle, or how did you phrase it, a cleaning the slate or something to that effect?
Yeah, like a reset button, yeah.
Yeah, like a reset, totally, you know, totally. But I think whatever's going to come of it is from our own doing, you know, from how we make of it.
Yeah.
But I have heard, you know, I have heard that there is many more people than ever beginning to meditate for peace and actually put effort into the change. So, man, it's only going to get faster. It's only getting more fun.
Yeah. Let the fun begin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me make sure. Okay, so how do you feel about public schools? That's a question in our chat room. Speaking of the mind control.
How do I feel about public schools? I feel, honestly, awful about them. And, I mean, our education system was set up in America here primarily by the Rockefellers, you know, all the foundations in the early 30s and 1940s who were setting up the Department of Education and the basically all the books in the 30s and 40s. So many things are sanitized out, all the important things, and only what they want you to learn are put in the books. And who was it? Mark Twain. He said the winners of the war get to write the textbooks. So, you know, our minds are manipulated by the very people that own this planet. So, you know, it could be made so much more efficient and so much more not live, so much more truthful. And by efficiency, I mean stripping out all the pointless classes and hours and days and weeks and months of wasted time that we put these kids through. I mean,
yeah,
they're spending an hour a day for the first...
And their parents.
And their parents, yeah, totally. They're spending an hour plus a day for the first 6 to 7 years of their schooling just learning how to add. You could do that in like a month, teaching them how to do that in, you know, just one grade. So we waste the kids' time. We waste their life. They don't learn what they want to learn. We could make it so much. And we're taking all the creative right brain stuff out of school, like band and athletics and all that jazz. So,
Yeah.
Well, we're not really taking athletics out, but it's becoming so much more materialist and consumerist instead of honoring the art of athletics. So, being a, public school man, don't get me started. That's why I dropped out.
Should I bring up vaccines?
I mean, yes, if you need people to learn about it. Injecting poisons into you. I don't know who thunk that one up.
Right. And boy, do you get in trouble if you don't bring your kids in, you know, and it's like,
yep.
It is crazy. Of course, now there's been so much conflict around the vaccines that I haven't had anybody bother me about them this last year. But I tell you, it's school. School is just as challenging for this mom to get through as it is for her children, because I have gone rounds and rounds with the school, the teacher, the principals, and I spent probably 6 months of one of my kids' junior high years practically sitting on top of the teachers and the principal, emailed them every single day, said, if you guys aren't going to do your job, then I'm going to have to babysit you. So I did, and they did not like me.
I get zero. I don't care at all. I've been kicked out I've been denied going to a doctor's office because I told them that I wasn't going to vaccinate, and they said, no, we can't see you. I said, oh, bye. I don't want to deal with ignorant people.
Well,
so it's like we were talking about earlier, everybody's on their path, and many of these doctors are still on their path of ignorance just as much as many of these parents are. So it's just a whole, you know, sorry, that's okay. You don't get it quite yet, so I won't go into your office, or I'm not going to deal with this school or whatever it may be. But,
let's be clear that doesn't make anybody right or wrong, good or bad. It's just where you're at. That's where they're at.
Yeah.
And we have to
save space, and you have to, you know, understand that. Hold it in your heart.
To another
please,
disclosure.
Please wake up.
Yeah.
I know.
It brings me to another disclosure that I almost forgot to bring up. And that is,
what's that?
You posted, or you had one of your shows on all of the doctors that have been eliminated in a short period of time. Let's talk a little bit about that. We've got, and these are holistic people that are finding cures for things.
Yeah,
possibly.
People that are more natural-minded, you know, we don't know what many of these doctors were doing at the point of their mysterious death, so we don't know, you know, whether they were finding natural cures for diseases or working, what they were doing. But, yes, this issue about the dead holistic doctors, I think, is one of the biggest disclosures. It's much along the lines of Pedogate, you know, these nefarious activities that the elite do. I mean, they're literally offing holistic doctors. Holistic cures and doctors themselves have been suppressed for decades, but only within the last couple of years have we have a string of many, I think the number's up to like 70 or 80 now, of weird deaths, very odd circumstances, many of them obviously questionable. Obviously, you know, something happened. The most recent ones were, as far as I know, a New York doctor and his wife on July 28th were both found dead in New York. It was said that they jumped off a skyscraper because they, quote, couldn't afford their health care bills, end quote. That's what the mainstream media reported. And they were left, it said they left a typed suicide note as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know what doctors can't afford their health care bills or, you know, jump to death with his wife and leave typed suicide notes. How just ridiculous does that all sound? So there was that, and then there was another doctor found on August 1st, Dr. Ann Borok, I believe is the name. She was found hanging in her garage, and of course it was attributed to suicide. So
yeah.
Yeah, those are just the recent two. But it all started back in 2015. It's often said that the first doctor that died in this recent string was Dr. Bradstreet, his name is. I forget his first name. I think it's John or Jeff. Jeff Bradstreet. But he was working with a cure called GCMAS. GCMAS? Something to that effect, but it's a very strong anti-cancer protein, I believe. So some of these doctors, we do know what they were doing. They were working with natural cures, but a lot of them just weird circumstances, man. And it's a huge issue. And yeah, one that I believe is a huge, massive red pill. One of those disclosures that blows everything as open as much as other topics do. Other, you know, very controversial topics like secret space program and whatnot.
Yeah. I keep distracting myself from the next question I'm going to ask you, which is really not good for me. No, just kidding. I was trying to find the news report on the holistic deaths, and I just found it. And now I remember my question. It was mine, so that's good. It's Debbie in the chat room. She said, there are certain people who are on YouTube a lot lately that I cannot listen to. I feel as though they are hypnotizing me when I hear them. Has that been an issue for either of you? I'm kind of selective about who I listen to.
Yeah, everybody has their own preferences based on their, you know, their experiences, their information, what they enjoy. And totally, I know some people might not vibe with who I am and what I say. That's totally okay. I know there's a lot of people I don't necessarily vibe with either. So, you know, it's everybody has their own perspectives, their own way of sharing their experiences and their information. So, but in the way of, like, specific mind controlling, hey, you never know. You never know somebody's agenda, you know. That's why you try to gauge their authenticity, gauge their honestness as a person. And, you know, that's why I feel that people who are more authentic and that show you more of themselves, they're just more trustworthy. Maybe their information might not always be true, but they're not intentionally misleading you. So it's, you know, still up to you to find out what the truth is for yourself. But you just try to Just try to gauge whether someone's intentional or not.
Yeah. There's a fun one for us to talk about. The Mandela effect.
Interesting. Yeah. I like talking about that. Because I think it's much more simple than a lot of people are gathering, in that with the Mandela effect, and like a recurring theme has been, our collective consciousness, our consciousness can influence both space and time. Space and time are reciprocals of each other, so not only can we affect the space in this instant, but we can also affect time, both, you know, now, forward, and backward. So with the Mandela effect, you know, us remembering different things, I believe all that's essentially going on is that we're influencing our collective consciousness to alter the past, which is, you know, I believe a very possible thing. So I don't see it being anything more than that. And as people begin to understand these concepts, like, wow, I can influence space and time and space with just my thoughts, because we live in a mental universe, in that, wow, you know, I can affect matter. I can affect this very cup sitting in front of me on this table with my thoughts. So people are going to begin to become aware of their own inherent abilities, and then this issue or this concept of the Mandela effect is going to get more prevalent and more prevalent. But if we understand it, it's just an aspect of our thought's ability to alter our reality, then boom, not quite as scary. I think a lot of people are taking it very scarily. They're getting scared of it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to be scared of. It's actually exciting to me.
It is. To me, it's intriguing, because I had a picture.
Mm-hmm.
One of my siblings posted a picture of back when I think I was about 20 years old. And so way, way back. And it was one of those little old-fashioned pictures, you know, where you get all dressed up and whatnot. And so they post the picture. And I was like, oh, that's a cute picture. And I'm looking at it, and I realize I'm in it. And I had no memory of taking that picture. And you would think,
oh, wow.
if you went and got all dressed up, 20 years old, not like you're 5, and you get dressed up and you pose in this picture with your siblings, that you would remember doing it. But I did not.
Mm-hmm.
So that one always gets me. But let me see if I'm wrapping my mind around what you're saying on this. Is are multiple realities playing out at the same time? And then when we alter our perception of them, excuse me, the dogs got out apparently. When we alter the perception of them, then we move in a different reality. This is going to get noisy for a little bit. I'm going to mute myself and let
you
answer that.
Okay. I don't think there's necessarily multiple realities playing at once. I think there's only one reality, but we have an ability to manipulate this one reality in both space and time. And this kind of gets into a long conversation of what space and time are and how they're essentially reciprocals of each other right now in this physical universe. We're in the space-time realm, and the metaphysical universe, or where essentially our consciousness resides in, is the time-space realm or the cosmic sector. But we can influence both. We can influence space-time, and we can influence time itself, both forward and backwards. So
So how would one play with this in manifesting? Because it sounds like this is like a really nice tool for manifesting and creating.
Mm-hmm. Meditate. Get into a very centered state of mind, a very balanced state of mind. So meditation and focused intention is crucial. Being able to quell your thoughts to a point of oneness and connect yourself with that divine realm. But not only this, get yourself healthy. Get your mind, you know, your body-mind construct as energetic, as electric as possible. So when you do meditate and you do these mind exercises, you can make it as efficient as possible. And you can basically make your body and mind, which is an antenna, as strong of an antenna as you can. because that's what your DNA is. Your DNA, your body is an antenna that's receiving these energies all the time. So if you can pick up more of this universal flow with your body-mind antenna, then you have that much more of a chance to manipulate your reality.
Wow, yeah, I love that.
So that's how I see it.
So we are looking at the last 10 minutes of the show here. Is there any subject mm-hmm. that you would like to touch on before wrapping up the show?
Not necessarily. We went through quite a bit. Secret Space
we really
Program,
did.
Went through health stuff, went through the media and public education, went through the Mandela Effect, we went through, that's a lot of stuff.
You really did cover a lot. Bravo. And I want to remind everybody that they can follow Jordan on YouTube under Destroying the Illusion. And I believe you can either search Jordan Sather or Destroying the Illusion and you'll find him. And mm-hmm. I highly, highly encourage you guys to start following him and his daily updates. And I know that sometimes you don't make it every day, but you do put in a good effort, which I applaud you because that's not easy to do. And, just wanting to thank you for spending the time with us today and going through all of this and helping us get this information out there even more to people that may not have been following stuff like this. And all of a sudden now they're like, hey, I want to know more. So
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. And let's see. Do you have any events or other shows that you'll be on or coming up?
Yeah, so what's the date? August 28th, right?
Yeah, it's the 28th.
Yeah, it is the 28th. So at the end of September, on September 30th, I'll be doing an online workshop for Portal to Ascension, and this workshop is called The Science of Ascension. It's going to be me and four other presenters, one of which is Dan Winter, so I'm super stoked to be on a online conference with him, but there's five presenters. We each get an hour and a half, so I'll be doing, I'm not exactly sure what time I'll go on, but basically an all-day online conference, and I'll be presenting my own thoughts and theories on the science of ascension. It's $55 through the Portal of Ascension, that group, that website. So yeah, super excited for that. September 30th.
Wonderful. And will you be posting that information on your website and social media so that people can find it? Perfect.
Yep. I'll totally be posting that on my website and continuously on my social media. And then other than that, that's the only thing publicly to announce at this time. There's a couple other exciting things coming up that I'll share very soon. So...
See, that gets that suspense building up. So everybody will be like, oh, my gosh, I want to know what that is. And they're going to go mm-hmm. follow you. So I love it.
Yeah. one thing as well, speaking of which, we were discussing William Tompkins earlier. I'm not positive, but I do believe that I was the very last person to be able to sit down and interview him. I was able to interview him at the MUFON Symposium a month before he passed. So
that's crazy.
That interview will be coming out in short time as well.
Yeah, I'll be looking for that. I saw you post that. And so I've been anxiously waiting for that interview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the last of Tompkins' voice being in your head, but I feel like that's going to be quite the guidance for you on the other side. And he does have humor, so that he'll be a fun one to have whispering thoughts in your head. So wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show, you guys. You can find Jordan on his YouTube and on his website, jordansather.com. And follow him. I can't say it enough. Do it. All right, you guys. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you next week. Thank you, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye.